If you read the original Buddhist scriptures, there is a huge section of it simply called the Dialogues of the Buddha, because he always worked like Socrates in terms of a conversation. Now that has a very important meaning. You must be very careful when you read anything about Buddhism or what people say about it to understand this principle of dialogue. Because what appear to be the teachings of Buddhism are actually no more than the opening statements of the dialogue. Let's say people say Buddhism teaches that everything is impermanent and that the universe is like a diaphanous film of smoke. There's nothing you can catch hold of in it. Now, it's true, Buddhism starts out from that position, but that's not where it ends. It is taught that everything is diaphanous and impermanent to bring about certain psychological changes. And then when those have happened, you pass on to a deeper understanding than that. Similarly, it is taught that there is no real self. That's a gambit. That's something the teacher throws out for you to experiment with. But that's not the final position. Strictly speaking, the final position to which one comes in Buddhism cannot be represented in words at all. But it can be experienced. Although even that is not an accurate way of saying it. When we say something can be experienced, that suggests that you are one thing and the experience is another. An experience is something you can get or have. But to come to the point which is the center of Buddhism, the experience is the experiencer. There is no difference between the two. So that's what it does. So it begins in this way then. You have a problem, which is, I want out. You see, here I'm involved in the samsara, in the round. And it's becoming extremely inconvenient, painful. I feel threatened by disease and death and loss of possessions and friends and so on, and it's just all terrible. Is there anybody who knows what to do? Well, it looks as if there were some guys over there who don't seem worried. They are priests or monks or sages or whatever it may be. And so people go and say to those people, look, what are we going to do? And those people turn back and say, all right, isn't it clear that you suffer because you desire? You always want something else than what is. And so you're always being disappointed. You are made so that you wear out. So you fall apart. And you want not to be that way. But you see, if you weren't falling apart all the time, you wouldn't be alive. So there's a contradiction between what you say. You say, I would like to have pleasure, but I don't want pain. But in order to have pleasure, you must have a certain kind of sensitivity. If you have that, it can get hurt, as well as delighted. So what do you want? So the teacher gradually makes you examine what you want. And he points out, every time you think you know what you want, he points out that you're in contradiction with yourself. You haven't thought it through. And later on you come to the limits of where you can think it through. And he takes you into another stage. He then asks you, who are you? What are you? And you say, I've always been told that I was Alan Watts, or someone like that. And he said, well, is that so? And so I have to go back and I have to look and find out, who am I? Well, I find I'm a sort of onion. I find that what I did present to him as myself was a mask, and I peel it off. And he says to me, ha-ha, now let's look at your new mask. What's underneath that? So I peel that one off. and I go peeling. And suddenly I find, why, I thought there would be a pit at the center, but there isn't. There's just a pile of skins. And where am I? And, you know, I hear some kind of droll laughter because I wasn't inside the onion at all. The onion was inside me. I was the space in which the onion was contained. But I was thinking that I was something in the middle of it. Or that I was a particular skin, a particular surface. The teacher has many, many ways of, they're called upaya, or skillful means, for getting people to find this out. All he really does, basically, he says, what is it? What is reality? What is existence? And he makes you look at it. And you can do that in many kinds of ways. For example, you can take the end of your spectacles and bite. And you can feel that on your teeth, and you can concentrate your whole mind on that bite and try and find out, what is it that I'm biting? What is biting? What is the effort I feel inside my muscles? Where does that effort come from? What is the source of the physical activity? Concentrate on that. What is that thing that's there? That's the whole of yoga, really. Is finding out what it is. So, very often, you see, a teacher, in trying to get you to a certain point of understanding as to what something is, will go, "Hut!" See, just so at that moment, that noise might be the occasion through which you could find out what it is. Well, you see, you go on and on and on into this. And eventually, you come to the point where you find out that what it is you. You want one thing, and it another. Although we're playing it that way, because that's the hide-and-seek game. You're it. Isn't it funny how in the game of hide-and-seek, we designate somebody to be it? Now, that means then, you see, that you come to the point where you see through the game. But it's very complicated to come to that point because the game is so well done. The illusion. We are all so marvelously distinguished from each other. And these distinctions are fantastically complex. When we look out and see the pine needles on the trees, we say, well, they're not really very different from each other. They're all pretty much the same. I wouldn't know one from another if I really looked at them. They're all alike. And I suppose if somebody comes from Mars and looks at human beings and hasn't seen human beings before, they're all exactly the same. Same in way when Japanese people saw Westerners for the first time, they all looked the same. They all had red hair and long noses. Consequently, when we for the first time look at Oriental peoples or Negro peoples, we say, oh, they're all the same. I can't tell one from another. But you look deeply and you get used to them and they all start getting different. So would the pine needles. So you see, in that way, we are involved in being human, and therefore we all look incredibly different from each other. We all feel very different. And we accentuate this difference by having hate for each other or love for each other. And so it all grows, the element of differentiation becomes more and more and more and more emphasized. And that's scary, because we think, I'll lose me, I'll lose what I love, or I'll be overcome by the enemy, by the different, the other thing. You see, that's because we are at a point in the development of consciousness where we are at the extreme moment of differentiation. When you think, when I die, there will only exist what is other than me. Isn't that spooky? In other words, the here will disappear and the there will remain. Or if I go completely insane, I will be possessed by something completely alien. If you've ever been close to going insane, to feel the real horrors of this thing coming over you, where you have no control of it, and it's going to take you absolutely out of your mind, you're going to go into a state of mind where everything is unfamiliar in a threatening way. And you know how that can be? Imagine, for example, a perfectly weird smell. It doesn't remind you of anything. It isn't a good smell, it isn't a bad smell. It's utterly unclassifiable. And it spooks you. It's so strange. Well, imagine if everything became like that. Suddenly everything in front of your eyes became unspeakably strange and odd. And you feel, ooh, stay away from me, see? Well, that's very like some of the ways one goes into insanity. And but you see, it's the what is taking over is the principle of strangeness, as distinct from the principle of the familiar, the other. So what if everything became strange, or other, or nothing? I was nobody home, you see. So these threats lie in the game of playing that the two sides of the world, the black and the white, the I and the thou, the subject and the object, don't go together.